It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone. This week on Phone a Friend, a global apology to Kate Middleton. I might start working out naked. What is a white boy of the month? Somebody please explain. And find out who is outing the next A-list Hollywood asshole.
I worked with a massive asshole, and now I definitely have a no assholes policy.
Oh, plus a segment on contestants peeing during game shows. This episode has everything, and I'm peeing my pants with excitement to start it.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie
Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. I'm Jessie Cruikshank, coming to you live from my mom's closet in my hometown of Vancouver. Just surrounded by practical footwear, cardigans, and funky jewelry. And joining me not from in the closet is Jason, my producer.
Did you plan that or did it just come out?
No, that just came out. Did it feel right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt right to me too.
Good job.
How are you?
I'm excited.
I'm excited. This is a big one. We're really trying to cover a lot of ground, Jason, in this episode, tonally and otherwise. So I'm ready. I'm also on spring break, okay? So my kids are on their spring break this week. Evan and I obviously are not. We are still working. But I mean, this week I could sort of work from anywhere. So here's what I did. I had two options, Jason. Keep the three children at home for a week whilst trying to work, or fly with three children alone to Vancouver so my mom could attempt to watch them while I attempt to work. Which would you choose?
You know, I think I'd choose the mom version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you just choose having no children. I mean, that seems to be working great for you. That's what I went with, Jay. I was so desperate for any help with these damn kids. I chose option B, fly alone with three children, six and under, to another country just to get like a little bit of help. I have never flown alone with three kids. I've flown alone with one. I've flown alone with two, never three. And honestly, I thought it was illegal. This is how it went down. Evan has this new, he's show running a big Netflix show. He is very stressed out about this new job. And so I kindly said, you know what, like spring break is coming up, honey. Why don't I take the three kids to Vancouver alone? In the back of my mind, I'm thinking there's no way you're allowed to do that on an airplane. I was like, I'll just make this nice gesture and then pretend to find out that it's actually not possible. Who knew that it was totally permitted by the airlines? Once your kids are over two and they have their own seats, you can fly alone with as many of them as you like. So Evan was like, absolutely do that. Book those tickets. He drops us off at the airport and takes what I can only imagine is like a joyride away from the airport towards our home where he is about to spend 10 days alone. I imagine that like this is what he was playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just pulling out of the airport, imagining all the weird Game of Thronesy shows he's going to get to watch without me. Imagining a life where he doesn't get woken up at 5:30 a.m., where the only person he has to take care of is himself. Ugh. So he's driving away from the airport. I'm terrified. But to my surprise, turns out traveling with three little kids was like traveling as a charity case. Like, people took one look at me and felt so badly for me. They were helping me with my bags. They were folding up my stroller. They let us go first in line everywhere. Even at the Starbucks, they let me go first in line. A stranger tied Dre's shoes for him on the plane. The flight attendant gave the kids toys. Like, Jason, I have never experienced that level of kindness. It was almost as if I was a man traveling alone with one kid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what I felt like in the airport. That was the level of special treatment I received. And as a result, can't believe I'm saying this, and thank God Evan doesn't listen to this podcast, so he'll never know I said it, traveling alone with three kids was actually not so bad. It really wasn't. I was like a Make-A-Wish Foundation mom for one day, like everyone just chipping in to help this poor woman on her long journey with her three very poorly behaved children. And I was so grateful for all of it. Honestly, I was shocked. I would do it again. And I will have to when I return home this weekend.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
I feel like your kids are like good.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I'm not just saying that, like well-behaved. I've never seen them otherwise.
Wow, Jason, I'm just going to move right along and let that statement just sink in with everybody listening. Jason, my producer, who is a very intelligent, qualified, successful man, believes that my children are well-behaved.
Anytime I've been in their presence, they're like, they're polite.
Oh my God.
I've never seen them cry or scream.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm honored. I truly, really appreciate that. You did not see Rio and Dre wrestling on the ground at the Starbucks in the airport. So strike that from the record. But I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I also dress them matching because you always get special treatment when your children are matching. So that's just a hot tip from me to you phonies. Just a hot parenting tip.
Parenting tip.
When you are traveling, put your children in matching clothes, like 90s style, how your parents used to dress you. Do that with your children. You will get so many oohs and ahs as you walk through the airport. Even if your kids are screaming, I want candy, at least they look cute doing it.
I'm so curious what the seating arrangement is. Like, do you all sit together in a row?
This is a great question. No, because no such row exists in the coach ass section that I'm sitting. So I got four seats in a row, but one was across the aisle. And when I got there, I was like, oh, shoot, you can't just have like a two-year-old sitting alone across the aisle. But the boys wanted to sit together. And then Romy wants to do everything the boys are doing. So I just had three young children in matching outfits sitting next to each other in one row. And then I was across the aisle pretending at times to not know them. In hindsight, that's probably why we got special treatment, because the flight attendants were like, my God, why are these Von Trapp children sitting alone in matching outfits? We must get them a toy and maybe some extra juice. Anyway, I'm here spending my spring break sleeping on a mat on the floor in my mother's house.
Travis Swelsey are making out in the ocean on their Bahamian vacation, and I'm spring breaking with three children, my mother, and seven straight days of rain in the forecast. Jason, it's been a week.
It's been a week, yeah.
We must start this week by saying, Kate Middleton, I wish you well. And I'm not going to play our signature I wish you well jingle because tonally, this is not a Gwyneth ski accident trial, I wish you well. This is a genuine, earnest wish for Kate Middleton to have a full recovery from cancer and to be able to recover in peace. I cannot imagine at 42 years old how terrifying it would be to get that diagnosis, to have to start preventative chemo with three young kids at home, let alone to navigate all of it while dummies like me are speculating that she had a BBL. Like, she was forced by all of us to reveal her diagnosis publicly, likely before she was ready to. And I just want to say, to her credit, Jason, like, she did it in such a beautiful, vulnerable, heartfelt way. The video she released on Friday, first she released it on the BBC Friday evening in the UK, and then it was posted online. It was earnest. It showed gratitude. She didn't once say, and I had to endure you fucking idiots making jokes about the masked singer, which, by the way, she totally could have.
She could have.
It was finally a display of exactly the kind of humanity that I think the royal family needs to do more of. And tell me what you thought, Jason. I just felt like despite this absolutely horrible news that she was relaying, it was just so nice to hear her speak as a human being. Do you know what I mean? Like, It's been so long since we've heard her speak like that.
I didn't know what her voice sounded like, honestly.
Yeah. And ironically, you know, the Princess of Wales doesn't exist without that position being funded by the public. And yet she doesn't often make herself available in this way to the public. And it kind of feels like when you exist as almost a mythological figure, which she is to me, right? Just getting photographed in great outfits, we sort of forget that she is a human being. And the minute she came out and shared what she'd been dealing with amidst all this scrutiny, it really forced us all to sort of publicly reckon with the silliness that we participated in. And that's what I feel like we weren't out here on TikTok like spreading conspiracy theories, but I was on this podcast relishing in them. So I felt the need to apologize. Stephen Colbert, who was really like hard on Kate Gate, apologized. The women on The View apologized. Blake Lively came out on Friday and apologized for posting a joke about the Mother's Day picture. Like, a lot of people felt terrible for how they had contributed to this whole mess. That said, I still think it was a mess because in part, Kate was done a disservice by her press office. The lack of information, the bizarre Photoshop fail, the whole situation was just handled terribly. We can agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is this great op-ed in the New York Times. Jason, have you read it? It's I'm going to send it to you. It's by this royal reporter named Tina Brown, who's been reporting on the royals for like 40 years. She says that William is probably the one to blame. She said he's actually probably the one who made the call to try to keep everything under wraps because apparently he has even more of a hatred of the press than Harry does. And he has really adopted what, you know, his grandmother, the Queen, always said, like, never complain, never explain mentality. So she's saying that William is likely the one who wanted to try to keep all of this private. And, you know, you can imagine from his perspective, his father and his wife are now both battling cancer. The prospect of him ascending the throne earlier than he anticipated is sort of looming. He's feeling what Tina Brown describes as intense anxiety about all of it. And so he's the one who tried to make it seem publicly like everything was okay. So I'm putting that out there so we can not only blame ourselves for sort of participating in this mess, but we can also sort of blame the way that it was handled by the palace, possibly by William. And I do have empathy for him in this position that he's in, but I also hope that they've learned from the mess as well. And if you, like me, watched this video and felt instantly like A, intensely sad for her, and then B, deeply ashamed of yourself, can I just say this? Imagine what Meghan Markle felt. She's out here promoting her legumed-based spreads while her sister-in-law is undergoing preventative chemo, like grossly mishandled by everyone, even American Riviera Orchard, gets it wrong sometimes, yeah. Jason.
Yeah.
And finally, I just want to say this, Kate, because as we established, we know she's listening. Kate, even if you were forced to reveal this diagnosis before you were ready to, we assume, I just wanted to thank you for your bravery in speaking out about it. I think that there is something really meaningful about a public figure who is young talking openly about a diagnosis like this. It's a really impactful reminder that no one is immune, that we should all take an active role in our own health, women especially. We should all be up on preventative care for ourselves. And I just went from speculating about your BBL last week to deeply admiring you, your bravery, your vulnerability. Of all of the things that you do in your role as a monarch, I think this was a real act of global public service. And with that, our phone a friend Kate Gate investigation is officially closed, probably for the rest of time. And we truly, deeply wish her all the best for a private, full recovery.
That was so beautifully put.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that. I really didn't know how to talk about it, but I really feel so bad for her, Jay, because like I'm almost her age. I have three kids. Can you even imagine what that would feel like to get that diagnosis and know that like everybody is watching you and waiting for you to make a public appearance? Like,
yeah.
Oof, to have to go through chemo in the public eye. I can't even imagine, especially someone like her who we know to be like an intensely, I don't know, polished person. I just, oof, I'm getting emotional talking about it. I just feel so sad for her.
I hope she was almost like protected from all the noise in a way. Like, I don't think she's scrolling through TikTok watching conspiracies about herself, you know, but like,
No, that's Meghan and Harry's job. That's what they do about themselves. Right.
I hope she didn't see it all in a way, you know, like she obviously knows about it, but
yeah,
it's her. Just, you don't need that stress in that position.
No, you don't need to listen to the Phone a Friend Investigates Kate Gate episode, Kate Middleton. Just focus on getting healthy, focus on your family. And it seems like that's what she's doing. And I hope that the press respects it, you know?
I will say too, I think that to our collective defense, like the conspiracies came from a concern for her, right? Like everyone was like, where is she? We love her. What happened to her? Why are you being quiet? Where are you hiding her? You know, it was like, we wanted her safety.
I do think you're right. And I didn't know this until today. She is the most popular member of the royal family by far. And that was before she came out with this statement. I think after this, people are going to be rallying behind her forever, you know? Like, I just think the lesson here is that it is really valuable to show some humanity and some vulnerability, especially when you're in a position like she is. And I'm so grateful that she did. Oh, should we move right along?
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Phonies, if you listen to this show, you know I have declared 2024 the year of the hashtag MeToo movement. Finally, toxic behavior in Hollywood is being called out. It started with Ellen, then Lizzo, Jimmy Fallon, even JVN was called out this month. And this week, Rebel Wilson is joining the cause. Wow, wow, wee, wah. That's going to make sense in a second. It's time for a hashtag MeToo update.
Hashtag mean too update.
Why you gotta be so mean?
Did you get that reference?
No.
Wah, wah, wee, wah. Okay,
no.
Well, listen up, Jason. All will be revealed as the segment proceeds. Rebel Wilson has a book coming out next month. It's called Rebel Rising. And she posted this video on Instagram to tease one of the chapters in her book.
So when I first came to Hollywood, people were like, yeah, I have a no asshole policy. Means like, yeah, I don't work with assholes. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sounds sensible, logical. But then it really sunk in what they were meaning by that, older people in the industry, because I worked with a massive asshole. And yeah, now I definitely have a no assholes policy.
She then says chapter 23 in her book is all about this asshole, which I don't believe she actually names in the book, but apparently the alleged asshole caught wind, and according to Rebel Wilson, his legal team tried to stop her from releasing the book and tried to stop press about the book from coming out. So she was like, fuck you, and came out and named him, saying, quote, I will not be bullied or silenced with high-priced lawyers or PR crisis managers. The a-hole that I am talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. Is that shocking, Jason? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, it's surprising.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
It's always also disappointing when, like, somebody that you like and think is funny and unique and special in this industry is allegedly an asshole. She played his wife in a movie called The Brothers Grimsby, which I believe, Jason, is one of your favorite films.
I truly don't think I've heard of it.
No, me either. I Googled it, and yeah, there was like a picture of him in a weird wig with sideburns, and I thought, that looks familiar, but I have no recollection of this film ever coming out. Okay, so in an excerpt from the book, she says that she felt pressured to appear nude in the film and to engage in scenes that made her uncomfortable. She wrote, quote, it felt like every time I'd speak to Sacha Baron Cohen, he'd mention that he wanted me to go naked in a future scene. I was like, haha, I don't do nudity, Sacha. Later on in the shoot, she says, Sacha Baron Cohen summoned her via a production assistant, saying that she needed to film an additional scene. He said to her, quote, okay, well, we're going to film this extra scene. Then he pulls his pants down and says very matter-of-factly, okay, now I want you to stick your finger up my ass. And I'm like, what? No, I was now scared. I wanted to get out of there, so I finally compromised. I slapped him on the ass and improvised a few lines as the character. Did you like my reading? Am I what Michelle Williams was to Britney Spears to Rebel Wilson? The answer is no, absolutely not. That's a hard one to read. Okay, here's what else I want to read to you. Sacha Baron Cohen releases a statement via his reps, who use a lot of big, serious words to let us know that they are smart and serious. They write, well, we appreciate the importance of speaking out. These demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby. Which, by the way, those are the biggest words ever said in conjunction with The Brothers Grimsby. They also said that all of the alleged things that she claims made her uncomfortable were recorded on camera for the film and were in the script she had approved. But it's like, yeah, no shit. That doesn't mean he wasn't an asshole. You know, just because nobody saw him treating her badly and she ultimately agreed to do the scenes doesn't mean she wasn't pressured to do them by a man who was a jerk. I should also tell you, an anonymous producer has come out to back up Sacha Baron Cohen. And by the way, an anonymous anything is always just a super reliable source. So this person said, quote, as per the script, her character was attempting to put a finger in Sasha's character's butt. At no point did Sasha actually ask her to put a finger in his butt. The fact that this is a public statement made in complete seriousness to prevent a man from being canceled is hilarious to me. And by the way, in the book excerpt, Rebel says she didn't ever mean to cancel him. That's not her motivation for sharing the story. She just wanted to share it because she says the more women talk about things like this, hopefully the less it happens. And you know what? Despite being a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen's work, I will choose to believe the woman in this case, especially a woman like Rebel Wilson, who has so much more to lose than to gain by calling out a very powerful man in comedy in Hollywood. So to her, I say, high five.
That was like a little like Swedish or something.
Do you get it
like
now?
Like Dutch?
Listen, it's been so long, I don't even remember. Yag Shamash?
Wait, what is this?
I'm trying to do Borat references, Jason.
Oh.
And that's how we know Jason is not a straight man. If you can't instantly identify wah wah wee wah as a Borat reference, then congratulations. You are not an asshole. In fact, you're a cultured individual. Anyways. High five on the bravery it takes Rebel Wilson, I think it's very nice that you stood up for yourself and stood up to this man. Also, congratulations on the free book promo you're getting from all of it. Rebel Rising comes out April 2nd. Chapter 23 is all about how Borat is an asshole. And when my tell-all book comes out, chapter 23 is going to be about how all men who still do Borat impressions are also assholes. Yag Shamash, what's next?
What's next?
I hate myself. What's next? I can't even do it. I can't even, it's left my body. It should feel good about that. Time has worked its magic and my ability to impersonate Borat has left my body. Speaking of my body, here's a question. Phonies, do you like to work out with your partner, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend? So pre-kids, Evan and I went through, like, I'm going to say a six-month period where we, A, worked out, B, worked out together. And it was so nice. It was just motivating to sweat together and nice to know that you were both doing something to better yourselves, you know, which we rarely do anymore. Well, this week, a man and a woman in Brazil took their couple workouts at the gym to a whole new level by doing them in the nude. It's true. And it's hot couples doing hot things.
Hot couples, there's so much hotter than us.
Hot couple, Bella and Wagner, live in São Paulo, Brazil. They're in their early 30s and they've gone viral for claiming to rent out their entire gym so it's private, just for them, so they can work out together completely naked. There is photo evidence of this that I have stared at for far too long. I will post it in my story so you can do the same. They are squatting, they are jogging, they are bench pressing and lunging bare ass naked, okay? Letting every bit, bob, boob, and peen just hang out. Jason, you sent these photos to me. My first reaction was obviously like, it's a no for me, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a NSFW, not safe for workouts.
Yeah, you can't look away, though. Is it real?
You cannot look away. Because not only are they naked, they're also, like, staring intensely at each other. I don't know. I just think it is, like, first of all, there are safety concerns. You could get a ball sack stuck under a weight. Yeah. You could get a nipple trapped in an elliptical. I speak for my own nipples, which are unruly. I'm just concerned for their safety. Also, hygiene concerns. I don't care that they rent out the gym for the duration of their workouts. Are we scrubbing down the surfaces after we've straddled the stationary bike? I don't want to hop on the Peloton if someone else's vulva has been there first. Add that to the Jason montage of gasps and oh my gods. I also thought this, Jay, I was like, well, maybe this is a sexual thing. Like, you know, when they said being naked makes them work out harder, I wasn't sure exactly what they meant by that. But apparently, thank you so much. Hot couple says their naked workouts are a form of intimacy and it brings them closer together as a couple. Jason, you have a partner, a longtime partner. Would you ever work out naked with that person?
No. We, like, fight when we work out together, so we wouldn't be able to.
What about?
Like, being competitive or, like, you're doing that wrong or, like, just that kind of stuff. It's just stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So we're just like, you know what? Working out together is not our thing.
Okay, that's fair. See, I liked working out with Evan. I did feel like it could be our thing, and then we had three children, which derailed it all. But I don't know that that bond would be strengthened by watching him squat with his entire butthole exposed. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure that would make me think, like, wow, this is really making me love you even more. Like, the wrinkles, the rolls, the ball sacks, I speak for both of us. There's, like, nowhere to tuck it all away. I just don't need to, like, see a puddle of sweat from my husband's butt cheeks on a workout bench. Nor do I need him to see me doing a downward dog while bottomless. I don't know. But listen, maybe I do. Because hot naked Brazilian couple also say that working out naked burns more calories. So they say they've collectively lost 56 pounds since they started doing this, and they chalk it up to being able to exercise, quote, more intensely without the restrictions of clothes. God. Jason, don't you hate it when your underwear gets in the way of your bicep curls? Oh,
so annoying.
Oh, God. That one kind of lost me a little bit. I was like, it's 2024. You can get a pair of Fabletics for $19.99 and you'll be able to move just fine.
Yeah.
Also, like, you say restrictive, I say supportive. Okay, some of us need some spandex, some bands, some wires to hold things in place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on that team as well, honestly.
Okay, finally, they say stripping down and, you know, staring at themselves in front of the cruel mirrors at the gym helps them stay motivated. Now I feel like this sort of makes sense. Do you feel like, do you look at yourself when you work out at the gym?
Yeah.
Me too.
And tear it apart.
Well, Jason works out. Can I say this? Jason works out at like the hottest Hollywood gym where like many A-list celebrities also exercise. That can't make you feel great about yourself.
And that's why, yeah, it's like really, it's a really toxic place.
You look over and you just see an Oppenheim twin lifting more weights.
Yeah.
I feel that. Well, I have started doing 20-minute Peloton rides. Thank you so much. I'm really trying to get my life together in 2024. And what I will occasionally do is like tuck up my shirt so I can see the wrinkly, weird three baby belly skin kind of flapping over the Fabletics. And that'll push me to go a little harder. Like, I think it can be motivating to occasionally see the saggy parts. You know what I mean? Not all of them, but some of them.
It makes sense.
Right. So maybe hot Brazilian couple is onto something after all. In conclusion, I might just do my next 20-minute pop ride with Cody Rigsby, butt naked, spread eagle, bouncing and jiggling. See if it makes Evan feel more connected to me when he walks in. And this was hot couples doing hot things.
Hot couples, there's so much hotter than us.
I just have a mental image. Like, is your Peloton still like in your like office area? Where
yes.
I just picture Evan working at his computer when you're naked on Peloton in the background.
Okay, let's discuss this. Evan's work from home office space is about 2 feet away from the back of the Peloton. And occasionally I will go on the Peloton whilst he is working and he'll put on his headphones because I'm grunting like a Neanderthal trying to do my 20-minute like usher workout, okay? Imagine if it was just all butthole right next to him. I mean, yes. That would get him out of the room, which is honestly what I always want to happen. So it could be effective for me. Listen, I might try it and report back. The Scandinavian sleep method worked for us, so you never know. Naked workouts could be next, phonies. What's next? What do Timothée Chalamet, Tom Holland, and Jacob Elordi all have in common? Well, not only are they young, famous men who I could probably be arrested for feeling sexually attracted to, they've all apparently been part of a secret internet subculture that I had no idea existed. Let me explain. So the actor Logan Lerman, don't worry, I had to Google him too, was on the red carpet for his new series, We Were the Lucky Ones, and he was asked about being crowned by the internet as a term I had not heard before, white boy of the century. Listen to this.
Well, if it isn't the white boy of the century.
Is that, whoa.
Isn't that your thing?
What a moniker.
You know, when you Google that, it's just you that comes up.
Really?
Yes.
I'm honored. That's really, really weird and cool at the same time.
Aw, because straight, privileged, famous white men don't get enough accolades. They're now being rewarded for simply being white men? Like, this is a thing. This is a big thing on the internet. Am I the only person who has not heard of it? White boy of the month? Like, this is the first I had ever heard the term. And like all things I don't understand that I'm too busy to look up, I passed it off to Jason to research for me and present it to all of us here today. Jason, what conclusions are you bringing to the podcast today?
Okay. According to Teen Vogue,
a reliable source,
a white boy of the month is the quintessential boy next door for the internet age. Friendly enough to be invited over for dinner and parental chatter, but just rebellious enough to incite a swoon.
Mm.
Handsome, approachable, maybe a little sensitive, Twitter has become obsessed with the tall, skinny, pale, curly-haired white guy.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I believe if I'm interpreting the white boy of the month correctly, it's basically like a basic, plain, vanilla white boy, right? Not a man, a boy that is, it feels like the pumpkin spice latte girl, but for men. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Like the large hat, large Stanley cup holding girl, but a guy. I'm not sure that that is a compliment. Sorry, white boys of the month. Sorry, apologies to Logan Lerman, who, by the way, when you sent that clip to me, I was like, I have never heard of this person. And then upon Googling him, I did find an interview that I had done with him, like, extensively. I think I actually flew to LA to interview Logan Lerman for like some Percy Jackson of the something movie. And I don't even remember doing it. So if that defines a white boy of the month, it's like a handsome, successful white boy that you don't recall meeting, then it makes sense. Jason, I understand you have compiled a definitive list of white boys of the month as crowned by Twitter. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I got it from a BuzzFeed quiz, but yeah. I have it written down here for you.
That's weird because most of the research we do for the show comes from the New York Times or more elevated sources. So weird that we would find something from BuzzFeed here. Okay. Cue music. Run through the list. I'll tell you if I see it or not.
Okay. Andrew Garfield.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy Chalamet.
Maybe like a young Timothée, not Dune 2 leather pants Timothée. That's like too much swag, but young Timothée, okay.
Austin Butler.
Pre-Elvis voice, I see it.
Joseph Quinn.
No idea who this person is. Sounds very white.
Ross Lynch.
Same answer as above.
Tom Holland.
Yes, fair. Like minus Zendaya, yes.
Paul Mescal.
Yes, ugh, yes. Tracks. I just never understand. I don't understand like why everyone is thirsty for Paul Mescal. Like he's a white boy with like a curly mullet. It's not for me.
Penn Badgley.
Yes. Okay.
Jeremy Allen White.
No, I disagree. I feel like his features are too weird. Plus, it's like, I don't know, once I've seen your bulge doing chin-ups on a New York City rooftop, you can no longer be considered a basic white boy of the month. You've graduated. So that's, I'm striking him. That doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Cole Sprouse?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Taron Egerton?
Oh my God, yes. It was all sort of like coming together, and this is the name that really, like, now it makes sense. Taron Egerton, this is a perfect white boy of the month because I know he's been in a lot of things, and I'm, like, supposed to know him and like him, but I'm not sure if he's British or Australian, and I don't think I could pick him out of a lineup of white boys. So this is the perfect white boy of the month, Taron Egerton. Okay, this makes sense. But you know what, Jay? This feels like a very Gen Z term and list.
Yeah.
I like it, but I don't necessarily relate to it. So if I could, I would like to personally appropriate the term white boy of the month for an older demographic. Could I just take a moment to give my elder millennial take?
Yeah.
Elder millennial take.
If I could do the honors, here is a definitive list of white boys of the month. If the month happened during the years 1994 to 2004. Cue music. Tell me if you agree, Jace. Devon Sawa.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Ryder Strong.
See, no, I see him too bad boy.
Oh.
Right? Oh, God.
I love it. Oh. I love that Ryder Strong is too bad boy. How innocent we were.
Yeah.
Now it's like, ooh, Post Malone is too bad boy. But for us, it was Ryder Strong. Yeah. Okay, related, Ben Savage.
Yeah, I see it.
I mean, the definition of white boy with curly brown hair.
Yeah.
Andrew Keegan.
Yeah.
Scott Wolf.
Oh. Maybe too old. Back then, even. Like, I feel like he was older.
R.I.P. Scott Wolf. You are dead to Jason. So old. Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joey Lawrence.
Yeah. Same.
Zachary Ty Bryan.
Was that the brother from...
Yes.
Home Improvement?
Yes. This is quintessential.
No. Famous enough.
What?
Yeah.
What? What like, were you JTT. Watching on weeknights? That's why he's the perfect white boy of the month.
Mm.
Zachary Ty Bryan and Taryn Noah Smith, who played the other brothers who were not Jonathan Taylor Thomas, are absolute flawless picks for White Boys of the Month. And we'll finish off with another three named white boy, Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, maybe too blonde, but fine. Like, I'm on the fence with that one, actually.
Okay, wow, Jason, you were on the fence with most of my White Boys of the Month, and I thought I had really compiled a definitive list. You know what? These men need to be celebrated more. Should we crown our own White Boy of the Month at the beginning of every month on this podcast, Jason?
Honestly, I'd probably not. We should
pass. No, no. No. Okay, we should not. We should celebrate all boys on this podcast. But I am going to crown you, Jason, my producer, our honorary White Boy of this month. Congratulations.
We confirmed this isn't a great thing to be, right?
Yeah, no, this is not a great thing to be. It's just because you disagreed with all of my choices that I'm giving you this moniker for this month only. April, you're back to being regular Jason, my producer. Just as a footnote, Ben Savage, star of TGIF classic show Boy Meets World, is currently running for Congress as a Democrat in our district in Los Angeles. Did you know that?
Yeah. I see signs around on lawns everywhere.
Did you get the flyer?
No.
Oh, Jace, the tingles I got upon receiving a flyer. And we're getting so many. There's like elections happening. We're getting so many flyers with like basic white men on them. The excitement I felt to get a flyer in my mail with a picture of Corey Matthews campaigning for Congress. Like, that just hits right. Get them all in Congress. What are they doing? Andrew Keegan for president. This concludes our segment on White Boys of the Month. Thanks, Jason, and congratulations. What's next?
What's next?
I honestly feel bad that you only have a few days to enjoy the title.
Right.
Come April, you're not even going to know who you are anymore. All right, here's a question. I'm going to actually ask you, Jace. Have you ever been so excited that you peed your pants?
Oh, no.
Never? You can't remember a time?
I don't remember a time.
No, that's good. I mean, honestly, if you had birthed any children, your answer would have been yes, okay?
Okay.
For any phony listening who has had a child, you probably peed a little just like thinking about Andrew Keegan. Apparently, pants peeing happens a lot in the game show world, specifically on The Price is Right, on stage, in front of everyone, including a nationally televised audience. A former producer on the show named Mike Richards, which shocked he didn't make the White Boy of the Month list. That's the whitest of white boy names. Revealed recently in an interview with People magazine that The Price is Right had a, quote, pee protocol in place for when a contestant got so overly excited, they pissed their pants on the stage. Sorry, there's no eloquent way to say that. He said, quote, there were curtains and a blow dryer and a pair of sweats just in case, since we'd have to get on with the show. Listen, I don't know why this man is out here revealing these pee secrets, but I'm sure glad he did, because this happened on set when I was hosting Canada's Smartest Person. Jason, you were there at the same time as me. Do you remember when somebody peed their pants during the show?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think I was on that season.
No, you might have been, but they just tried to keep it under wraps.
Okay. Hush, hush.
So it's like, yes, middle of the day, we're shooting an episode. We're like pretty far along. So the competition is really getting intense. And suddenly, after like a math challenge, one of the competitors leaves the set and he's gone for like 40 minutes. And I'm left trying to entertain the audience, not having any idea what's going on. Nobody is like telling me in my earpiece what's happening. He's just disappeared. Finally, he comes back, looks the exact same. He proceeds with the competition. And at the end of the taping, I finally asked the team, like, what happened with that competitor? Peed his pants. Middle of the math competition, peed his pants like all the way down the front of his gray slacks. Just out of, I don't know, nervousness, excitement. He had to go back to our wardrobe team. My like beloved stylist, Lisa Williams Style, took the pants off, blow dried them meticulously until they dried, dried him off, dressed him again so he could go back out and finish the competition. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine being Lisa Williams Style.
By the way, her name is Lisa Williams, but her Instagram account is Lisa Williams Style. So that's how I often refer to her. Do you have that where you think about people as their Instagram name?
100%.
It's a real problem. Anyways, let's get back to the peeing. I love that you feel bad for the stylist that had to navigate it. I feel bad for him. Imagine feeling like being so intelligent and being on such a world stage that you feel so much pressure. You lose control of your bladder. I can't. But we really should dedicate this episode to the amazing pee protocol support workers out there. Lisa Williams Style came in as a wardrobe stylist, and suddenly producers are asking her to wipe pee off a grown man's leg. You know what? She did it. She does it all. Does pee bother you, Jay? Is that something that you wouldn't be able to do? Is that why you felt for her?
Yeah, pee bothers me. Like a coffee pee, like really bothers me.
What? What's a coffee pee?
Like when, you know, when someone like clearly hasn't drank water in a long time.
So like a yellowy pee, like a smell, like a
dark yellow.
Like a dark.
The men's bathroom is a very gross place. Like people don't flush. It's just, yeah.
Rio recently said to me in a white spot bathroom, this was yesterday, you know, we're in Vancouver, we're getting our pirate packs. He's in the white spot bathroom with me in the women's bathroom. And he said, Mom, I wish I was a girl because girls' bathrooms are so much nicer than boys' bathrooms. So he's accurate in saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So coffee pee bothers you, like a rich, thick pee bothers you. Yeah. How do you feel about poo? What's your poo tolerance?
Poo, like, again, the smell, I'm like, I can't handle the smell of any poo. I have like a really like queasy stomach. Even like, I can't even walk a dog and pick up after the dog. Like I throw up.
Jason.
Yeah, I have a really low poo smell tolerance.
Oh, well, then you need to stay out of my house. It's like once you become a parent, you become completely desensitized to pee and poo. Yeah. Like I would have happily run backstage and helped out Lisa Williams Style by wiping that person's leg off. Like I have two boys, okay, who attempt to pee in the toilet and inevitably pee on the wall. Like I am just constantly surrounded by pee smells, pee stick. If I go to the bathroom in the morning after they've been peeing during the night, I guarantee you I sit down on a wet toilet seat. Okay. Like I, and then there's my toddler who's still not potty trained because I'm lazy. So I inevitably have poo particles under my fingernails as I speak. Okay. None of it bothers me anymore. And with that image, we started this episode with a heartfelt conversation about a cancer diagnosis, and we are finishing it with a discussion about peeing our pants on television. It's called Variety, Phonies. And that's our week.
It's been a week. Yeah.
After the break, last week we talked about Oprah's Ozempic special and you had thoughts. We're checking my voicemail next.
Commercial break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We're back. Full disclosure, phonies, I never check my mother's messages. I always check yours. It's time to check my voicemail.
Check, check, check your voicemail.
Hey, Jesse. My name's Natalie. I'm from Toronto. I just wanted more of a comment. I was just listening to your episode about Oprah and the Ozempic special, and I just wanted to say, as someone who has been on Ozempic for the last couple of years and had, like, pretty significant weight loss and, like, a huge life change with that, but who's also, like, always lived in a larger body and, like, faced so much stigma and shame around that, to then have to, like, face so much stigma and shame around the way I lost weight was also just like another mindfuck that I didn't need. So anyways, I really appreciate you talking about it and talking about how your kind of perspective on it has changed. Really love the show. Love laughing with you every week. And thank you so much.
Oh, Natalie, I really appreciate you. I mean, I am so grateful for your message. I love phonies when you call in about something we've talked about, even just with your own thoughts or your own opinion or experiences, because I just makes the show feel like a conversation. I always feel like I'm having conversations with you when I'm recording it, but like getting your thoughts in return, that's just what I love and strive for every week. I appreciate this message in particular, Natalie, because Jason, should we just give a little peek behind the curtain?
Oh, about the Oprah thing? Yeah.
Yeah, we were nervous. I was like a little nervous to cover the Oprah Ozempic special on this show. It just, I don't know, it felt kind of a little more earnest than our average, say, you know, game show contestants peeing in pants segments that we do here. So hearing your feedback on that means so much. And honestly, the reason that I decided to talk about that special on the show is because I walked into my child's preschool to drop Romy off, and I overheard two teachers talking about watching the Oprah special and talking about how they're on Ozempic. And I was like, oh, this is not just a celebrity thing anymore. This is like preschool teachers are on it. This is something that's having a huge cultural impact. And it's really nice to hear from you, Natalie. And it's such a valuable reminder that weight gain and weight loss are so flagrantly discussed, and not everybody wants to talk about even their weight loss. Like, isn't that interesting, Jason? If you see a friend who has clearly lost weight, the first thing that you're probably going to say to that friend is like, oh my God, you look amazing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're so quick to compliment people on weight loss because we assume that that's what they want. But that's also a product of us living in a culture that shames people in bigger bodies and compliments and rewards people in smaller bodies. And, you know, we don't necessarily know what's going on with that person. So maybe it's the best protocol to just keep our opinions across the board about other people's bodies to ourselves. I recently had a bit of a family situation. I don't remember if I told you about this, Jason. Over the holidays, one of my boys saw a relative that he had not seen in a while and exclaimed in front of our entire extended family, wow, you're so fat. Not in a negative way.
Yeah.
No, it was just a child making an observation about somebody's body.
Yeah.
And Evan and I obviously are like internally panicking in the moment, but we try to stay calm and just say like, oh, wow, you're noticing so-and-so's body. And you know, thankfully that person sort of like handled it beautifully and like deflected it in a funny way. But to me, in my opinion, staying calm, if your child says something like that, helps a child understand that there is no shame in having fat on your body. Our, you know, older family members did not share the same philosophy. Evan and I were later straight up scolded, Jason, told that we should have disciplined our child for even saying the word fat. And it's hard to explain to an older person from another time and another generation that you're, you know, trying to destigmatize the word fat or even the notion of living in different bodies. And so I just wanted to say that I appreciate in your message, Natalie, that you said you've always, quote, you said lived in a larger body. Oprah also said this, Jason, you remember in her special, she talked about people living in a bigger body. So it's you and Oprah, Natalie, inspiring me, because I think that that is the terminology we should try to use moving forward, especially when we're talking to our kids like, oh, you're noticing she lives in a bigger body. You know, bodies come in all different shapes and sizes. We were all made to be different. And that's what makes us special. Like, that's truly how I try to discuss different body shapes with my kids. And, you know, whatever I do, I try not to put any negativity on any different term or body type. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Anyway, I just think Natalie is special. Natalie, please keep doing whatever feels right for you. I hope you feel somewhat released from the stigma and shame that you have felt around your body for so long. And I'm just so glad you left me a message. Truly. Wasn't that a great message, Jay?
Yeah, I loved that.
Love that. And phonies, by the way, call me about anything, okay? Pitch me a white boy of the month. Tell me the last time you peed your pants. Join my hashtag MeanToo movement and tell me about an asshole you've encountered, okay? Please, I live for your voicemails. Leave them at 323-448-0068 or DM me a voice memo anytime. And that's our show. Jason, tomorrow Beyonce drops Cowboy Carter. You best believe I'll be out of my closet recording next week's episode from atop my damn horse, okay? Straddling a horse like I'll straddle that naked Peloton. So look for full coverage of that album on next week's episode. In the meantime, I mean, we usually end the episode with a song, but not a lot of music coverage today. I do feel like I have been culturally blind to the new Ariana Grande album. Like, I spent so much of my time last week listening to Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC that I barely listened to her new album. But I know you have been, right?
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So could you please, I mean, in the same way that you educated me about White Boys of the Month, could you please educate me about the new Ariana Grande album by playing one of your favorite songs?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do We Can't Be Friends.
We Can't Be Friends.
It's like the banger out right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rob, our technical producer, roll it.
How could you ever even try?
Oh, it has like a Robin vibe.
Very Robin vibe.
Do you know, shamefully, I haven't even listened to the Mariah remix of Yes And?
Yeah, I haven't really either, honestly. The original is just so good. I didn't want another version.
Wow. Wow. Something has to be really good to not need Mariah on it, but I appreciate that perspective. Oh, Jace, I'm into it. You should see the moves I'm pulling in my mom's closet right now. Woo! I'm about to put on some of her chunky knitwear and just start twirling. Oh, okay. Speaking of my mother, I forced my mother to take my kids out of the house so I could record this episode. So I now have to go find her and help her wrangle them off the playground that they're at in the pouring rain right now. And then rest my head on my mattress on the floor whilst my toddler sleeps in a pack and play that's definitively too small for her in my mother's bathroom. It's a luxury vacation, Jason. In the meantime, Jason, as always, thank you for being my white boy of the month.
That's okay. You're welcome.
Also my producer. And phonies, let's talk next Thursday. Okay, I'm hanging up now. Take us out, Ari. Bye.
Friend was created by our mommy Jessie Cruxing. The executive producers are Jessie Cruxing and Jason Yanba. The technical producer is Rob Perra. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.